special meeting of the North Dakota Public Service Commission.
Good morning. I call this special meeting of North Dakota Public Service Commission to order. It is Tuesday, June 6, 2023, D-Day, which sounds kind of ominous for what all we have on our agenda. But it's a D-Day because of World War II. I'm Commissioner Randy Christman, Chair, and joined by Commissioners Sherry Haugenhoffert and Julie Fedorchak. So we have a quorum. As far as opening comments, I will just point out this is a special meeting. I mean, because they're all special, let's face it. But this one is listed as special only because we had a scheduling conflict for tomorrow when it was on our regular meeting list. And so we have moved it back to today. So if there's any confusion, there is no regular meeting tomorrow at 10 o'clock. And this is it. And I'll have more after we finish our regular agenda as far as scheduling. But those are the only opening comments I have. Commissioner Haugenhoffert, did you have comments?
I have no comments.
Commissioner Fedorchak?
Just briefly, but I want to thank everybody for pitching in my absence. I was on an extended vacation with my husband, a pilgrimage that was amazing. And I will be happy to share stories from that for anyone who's interested. And but I know it's always hard when somebody's gone and not available. So I really appreciate everyone, their flexibility, the work in advance to make it happen, and the accommodation for all that. So thank you very much. I'm glad to be home and rested and ready to work hard.
Glad to have you back. So we will move in to the first item. We have two items on the consent calendar. I move approval of those plus the minutes of the previous meeting.
So moved.
No, I moved it.
Oh, second.
I was just seeing if everyone's paying attention.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
She really moved it.
Okay.
You just moved it.
I really moved it.
Okay, so I have just one item on the agenda today on the regular portion. It's kind of a long motion, but I move the commission approve revision number 4242 to the surface coal mining permit NAFK-8405 held by Falkirk Mining Company to add 3,359.7 acres to the permit, incorporate baseline information for the added area, revise operations and reclamation plans, update the standalone groundwater hydrology document, and update the worst-case reclamation cost estimate for the consolidated bond area that includes this and other permits at the Falkirk Mine and Falkirk Mining Company, Revision 4-2, Permit NAFK-8405, Application RC-22-144.
Second. Second.
So on March 4th of last year, of 2022, Falkirk filed for the application for Revision 42 to add just under 3,360 acres to the permit in parts of eight different sections in McLean County, all introductory, legal, financial, compliance, environmental, operations, and reclamation sections of the permit have been revised along with the groundwater hydrology document and the worst case reclamation bond estimate. The addition of the permit represents a northward extension of Falkirk's mining and reclamation operations north of State Highway 200. If you go to Riverdale or Pick City, sometimes that from just north of Underwood, you turn over and head toward Riverdale. That will be north of there now. Federal coal tracks are included within the revision, and they are not planned for mining. And Falkirk has not obtained the federal coal lease for these tracks. The rest of the land in this will be mined, it's expected, from 2025 to 2031. The pre-mining land use of the additional area includes cropland, native grassland, wetlands, farmsteads, shelter belts, county roads, and trails, and the post-mining land uses will be similar to the pre-mining land uses. Revision number 42 was deemed a significant revision and was subject to the public notice requirements. Falkirk submitted affidavits of publication of the required newspaper notices. We notified appropriate agencies, the permit area landowners, and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service of the revision application. We received no objections or requests for informal conferences. The worst-case reclamation bond cost increased, and Falkirk has submitted a collateral bond to increase their total bond to nearly $115 million. The bonding instruments were properly executed and accepted by the Reclamation Division. Our Reclamation Division has completed its review of this revision application and recommends that it be conditionally approved, and I emphasize conditionally. And the condition is that no overburden or coal removal may occur in the section where the coal ownership is 100% by the U.S. United States of America, or the section where the coal interest is even 50% owned by the United States of America. Until Falkirk obtains a lease from the Bureau of Land Management and the U.S. Department of the Interior approves the mining plan. They have to get both of those. You hear that a lot in federal permitting stuff. Often it has to do with oil and gas, but where an administration will say, you know, like, oh, we've leased all these acres, but they didn't approve the plan, the mine plan in this case. So it's a very deceptive thing, and so I want to emphasize they would need both of these. Until that mining plan is approved, and I really want to emphasize this point, until that mining plan is approved, which would be the second thing, so by then they've got the lease and the mining plan, surface disturbances on the described federal coal tract will occur, but they must be limited to those activities that are needed for carrying out mining on the adjoining tracts where the coal interests are privately owned and where federal mine plan approval was previously granted. So, if you're a big environmental advocate and just want to see that this land isn't disturbed, guess what? It's going to be disturbed. And all this hullabaloo that we've had for the last 2 months in Washington, D.C. about a potential financial crisis where we're running out of borrowing authority because, after all, they can only borrow $32 trillion. But the land is going to be disturbed, and they're passing up the opportunity to make huge money by leasing the coal to the mine. And beyond that, the tract where it's only 50% federally owned, I'm no lawyer. Maybe it's impossible. I hope the owners of the other 50% sue the federal government, because this is a taking to me. They are prohibiting the owners of that other 50% from being able to sell their coal while the surface all gets disturbed. And it's going to get mined around. And once that reaches a certain point where they've mined around it, they will never come back, because it never pays to come back and mine one little tract. So as citizens, our coal is just going to be wasted. Our energy costs are going to be higher because the cost to run the plant is passed on to us. All because of just stupid stubbornness. But that, I guess, goes beyond what this seeks to do, and that is grant them a permit for the rest of it and move on as best we can with a stupidly stubborn federal government. That's all I have to say.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Well, I will say that you sort of shortchanged the last piece, which is that our staff and you as portfolio holder did the due diligence to make it possible in an orderly way for them to move forward on the parts that North Dakota does have jurisdiction over, which we quietly do every single day. And it's states operating like that that are keeping this country afloat. And we can't lose sight of that, and we can't stop resisting the craziness. So good job, Dana.
Is there any further discussion?
Don't get discouraged. That's what they're hoping for.
Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
That concludes my portfolio. Commissioner Haldenhofer.
Thank you. I move the commission adopt the finding of facts, conclusion of law, and order in Montana Dakota Utilities Company 2022 electrical rate increase application case number PU22-194.
Second.
Thank you. Just to start off with a little fun fact, it was June 16th, 2017, the last time this commission looked at a rate case for MDU. So, so let me go through this. So on May 16th, 2022, MDU filed with the commission an increase in rates for electrical services. The rates would result in an increase in its annual electric service revenue. They were seeking $25,365,558 or a 12.3%. And the reasons they submitted for this rate base increase were due to Heskett Unit 4, transmission projects and substation rebuild, transmission and distribution, pension and post-retirement, line growth and replacement, just to name a few. On July 14th, the commission issued an order approving the interim rate increase of about $10.9 million. That was effective July 15th, 2022. Petitions to intervene, and which was granted, were filed by Walmart, Marathon, and AARP. On April 5th, the commission did hold two public hearings at noon and 5 o'clock here in the commission room. It was on April 26th, MDU, advocacy staff, AARP, Walmart, and Marathon filed a settlement agreement. On May 2nd, we held a formal hearing on that settlement agreement. So I will go through, based on the settlement agreement, what was brought forth. And I do compliment all parties working very hard together to wade through all those issues and come to an agreement, which was brought forth to the commission. So the settlement agreement proposes a net increase in MDU's electrical rates for retail customers with an annual revenue increase of $15,275,796. This represents an overall increase in rates of 7.4%. So seeing the decrease of over, $10 million in the revenues, some of the reductions that the team, I'm going to call it, that worked on the settlement came to, we saw a reduction in incentive compensation, depreciation, software, advertising, industry dues, insurance. The personal use of company vehicles was completely removed. So that was about a 10.9% decrease. So the settlement results in an annual revenue increase that is approximately 40% less than what was originally requested. The return on equity was established at 9.75%. When it comes to earnings sharing provision, the company's earnings above 10% will be shared with 70% refunded to the customers, and MDU can retain 30%. The earnings sharing will be based on MDU's annual report, and earnings shall include any margin the commission allows from the ESA, the applied blockchain. So looking at the residential service, residential customers will receive a monthly increase, which will represent $8.27. They originally asked for that residential increase to be $14.94. The average monthly interim increase was $5.09, which we previously approved, and that went into effect, as I was saying, back in July. Now, with the settlement, the final average increase is an additional $3.18, or $8.27 in total. And these are for residential customers using 800 kilowatt per hour. Now looking at the fixed basic rate charge, they originally requested the residents be pay about 67 cents per day with a $20.38 per month. But the settlement agreement was the amount of like 50 cents per day or $15.24. So that's what the residents will be paying in the fixed charge, again, which is $15.24 per month. The basic interim rates, generally when we have approved them in the past, there could be a over amount, so a refund is back to the customers. This was not the case during this time, so no refund to the customers will be done. The settlement provides that within 9 months, the commission, MDU, will file with the commission an application regarding its fuel and purchase power cost rider that provides an alternate allocation option. So this initial request, and based on the settlement agreement and all the hard work that was done, definitely showed that there was a decrease from the original request, really scrutinizing all of MDU's expenses. And I can't compliment the advocacy staff and MDU and the interveners and everyone who we get involved in the case, especially the experts, to evaluate the initial proposal and examine what the company is requesting. To come to a settlement agreement, it also represents that the company agrees to it and will operate efficiently and help with keeping those costs low. So with this settlement agreement, I support it, and I hope my colleagues do too.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, aye, signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I move the commission adopt the order on consent agreement in Public Service Commission CenturyLink Communications LLC Damage Prevention Enforcement Case Number DM-22-325.
Second.
On July 13th, the commission received a one-call complaint from Larry Anderson alleging a violation by CenturyLink. And how this came about is Mr. Larson provided an excavation notice to North Dakota One Call to begin his work on July 7th. And when he looked at the ticket, he thought it was kind of that something was missing, that it didn't list a telephone company. And the reason why he could noticed this is 4 years ago, he had a ticket in the same area, and he knew that there was a telephone company that had equipment in that area and wasn't on that. So Mr. Larson worked with staff. Staff became involved. They worked with North Dakota One Call, too, and said, why wasn't CenturyLink noted on this ticket? And the staff did find the ticket, and they did note that CenturyLink was on the prior ticket. So the communication was now with CenturyLink on why they weren't on there. And they said, make a long story short, they failed to notify North Dakota One Call on updating their database on their equipment. And our staff, our advocacy staff, Conrad asked CenturyLink update North Dakota One Call of their equipment, and they did so. But in doing so, CenturyLink is in violation of North Dakota Century Code for not keeping North Dakota One Call updated. So based on that violation, CenturyLink is assessed a civil penalty of $2,000. And I want to compliment staff that they're always thorough in their investigation, that saying that if a company is going to do something such as updating North Dakota One Call, that they have done that. And I'm proud to say that CenturyLink has complied in full with that. And again, but because of that initial violation, they will be assessed a penalty of $2,000.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I would just a couple comments on this. First of all, I think Mr. Larson should be like the poster child for 811 because he called first to put in a gazebo, which a lot of people don't do. And then he noticed, he actually looked at the ticket to see what was included and what wasn't included. And he found a pretty gaping hole in the records that CenturyLink was providing to 811, which is a really significant problem. So $2,000 is, you know, money well spent by them, and I would say they should consider themselves lucky, because they could have ended up causing a lot more problem than that if this had gone on undetected. And, you know, for other owners of infrastructure out there, it's actually, until this case, had never really occurred to me that they wouldn't be providing the most up-to-date information to the system so that it can be traced and found. And so maybe that's an area where we need to just ensure that people are doing that, or just maybe highlight this case at the next One Call board meeting and talk a little bit about how, if there needs to be anything done to ensure that the records themselves are up to date. I would assume that the owners of the infrastructure have the most risk at not providing good information. So, you know, they are certainly motivated to do that. But I think highlighting this case to the board and just exploring that a little bit might be of some value. So, but great job following up, and tell Mr. Larson that we're very impressed and appreciative of his diligence as a citizen and following the laws and following through with things and not just ignoring it. So kudos to him and to you guys, Conrad.
And Conrad and I have talked about some of this stuff, especially about the people who do home projects.
Right.
And then they sell their home. And how is that tracked, you know, as far as different things? So I have to say I'm very complimentary of the North Dakota One Call Board. I sat in on a meeting, and they're very progressive on how to have up-to-date information and how they can get that and stuff like that. So,
good. Thanks, Connie.
Maybe
Maybe the one-call board needs to make sure Mr. Larson gets his choice between a 811 chip clip or an 811 sunglasses visor holder that he gave out at the State Fair.
Maybe you could have both.
Don't forget the sticky pads.
Maybe we should highlight him on the billboards next time.
Okay, let's not let this devolve too far.
I'm only half joking, actually.
Let's don't dig ourselves into a hole and kick it out.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I move the commission adopt the order in MDU Utilities Company Electric Service Agreement Applied Blockchain Approval, case number PU-22-371.
Second.
On September 21st, MDU filed an application for approval of an ESA with Applied. The ESA provides that Applied would take electrical service from MDU under the High Density Contracted Demand Response Rate, 45. On December 8th, Marathon filed comments. And then later they filed a petition to intervene and was granted. On the 22nd, the commission issued an interim order approving the ESA on an interim basis. On March 8th, the commission issued a notice of hearing, which would be held on April 20th, 2023. Right before our formal hearing on April 18th, MDU advocacy staff and Marathon filed a settlement agreement. And on the 20th, we did hold the formal hearing as scheduled. So what I'll do is go through the settlement agreement regarding the ESA. So this ESA is between MDU and Applied, and provides a sale for all electrical power required by Applied High Density Data Center, which is located in MDU's Ellendale 345 KV substation near Ellendale. All electric power under this agreement is to be supplied by MDU through a separately metered circuit and pursuant to MDU's Rate 45. This is for an initial 5-year period, and then will continue year after year until such time as either party cancels the agreement. It is proposed a margin sharing agreement that permits MDU to retain a portion of the margin under this, with the remainder being passed on to North Dakota customers. The settlement agreement proposes an annual Rate 45 margin sharing report, and the total margin collected under Rate 45 would be reported along with its North Dakota customer share. During the formal hearing, the commission did raise the concern of impacts to MDU's system from the service area under the ESA. And MDU representative also testified that the Applied load has the potential to impact the price of energy in the area. And then, so considering this risk, the commission finds that conducting a MISO market study is best in the public interest. So we are going to request this. We discussed the cost sharing. It will be split between MDU and the North Dakota customers' margin sharing if the cost of the study is over $50,000. And if it's, or under $50,000. If it's over $50,000, will be solely paid by MDU. So again, this study we do find is in the best interest. The settlement agreement proposes the sale volumes, investment, and costs associated with providing electrical service to Applied under Rate 45 shall be excluded from the jurisdictional allocation calculations. Also, during the formal hearing, we questioned the possibility of passing the margin, sharing risk back to North Dakota customers via the fuel and purchase power adjustment rate 45. This method would provide a more credibility and act as a hedge against potential increases to the cost of energy for MDU's other North Dakota customers. We find, as a commission, that applying this margin sharing credit via rate 45 is consistent with the basic principles of rate making. So, again, I want to compliment the individuals that worked in the settlement agreement. They brought forth a good proposal for us. We had a good discussion at our formal hearing. And as a commission staff, we brought forth some other concerns in which they were in agreement to. So I support this settlement agreement as presented.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I think just briefly that, you know, this is complicated new territory. And there's a lot to think about and try to plan for when we're entering into agreements with new businesses that are we're unfamiliar with. So I think that, you know, with the help of the interveners, that really made a difference in this to help us think about some issues that maybe hadn't been brought to light and that we hadn't anticipated. So it was great to have those folks involved. And I'm pretty comfortable that what we've got here is something that will ultimately be a significant benefit to the ratepayers. And there's enough protections in place if things don't unfold the way we've anticipated that I think ratepayers should be held harmless. So thanks to everyone for all the hard work in getting to this point, and look forward to more of these kinds of opportunities in the future.
Is there any further discussion?
I will just say you both made some very good points. Sherry, you explained it very well, so I'm not going to repeat any of that, but on a much more trivial thing, but just to be real accurate, on page 4 there's a little typo, and so on our final document, the very last line in section 7, the word inconsistent has a gap in it.
Mm. Okay. So. I just want to say one thing. Julie, you're very correct. We're going into new territory with some of these large loads, and I can tell you, in working with staff, we're keeping a close eye on some of this stuff and, you know, the reporting that comes in to see, hopefully to prevent any type of, I'm going to call it hiccups or unknown expense or whatever that could come in, so we can really work with it in an efficient manner. So I know staff has a lot of work ahead of them. So I thank them. Nothing further, Steve.
Any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
We'll turn it over to you, Commissioner Fedorchak.
All right, thank you. I move the commission adopt the order in Denbury Green Pipeline North Dakota LLC transfer certificate number 215 and permit number 225, citing application case number PU-23-77.
Second.
So in 2020, the commission issued a certificate for the construction, operation, and maintenance of approximately 9.23 miles of 12-inch diameter CO2 pipeline and associated facilities in Slope and Bowman counties in North Dakota. That pipeline has been operating since without any issues. This is an application to transfer the ownership of that pipeline from Danbury Green, North Dakota. Let's see here. I have to think. from Denbury Green, North Dakota to Denbury Green Pipeline, Montana. And so any, we had a notice of opportunity to, for a hearing or comments. We had that issued in March. No responses were received. We have received an affidavit from the Chief Administrative Officer, General Counsel, and Secretary of Denbury Green Pipeline, Montana, stating that that company has the financial and technical qualifications to own and operate the facilities, and that they agree to assume the rights and obligations and comply with the terms and conditions of the original permit. And so with that in order, this transfer is ready for approval, and I will be supporting it.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. The motion is approved.
All right, my second order or item. I move the commission adopt the order in Ottertail Power Company amended Langdon Wind Upgrade siting application, case number PU-23-86.
Second.
So in 2007, the commission issued a certificate for a larger project, 159-megawatt Langdon Wind Energy Project in Cavalier County, North Dakota. And then a year later, in 2008, we issued approved a transfer of part of that project to Ottertail Power. So they have ownership of 40.5-megawatt facility that was originally permitted under that larger Langdon Wind facility. So now Ottertail came to us this spring seeking approval of an application to amend that project and repower it, essentially. So they currently own and operate 27 GE 1.5 megawatt turbines at the project, and it has a nameplate capacity of 40.5 megawatts. This repowering has a number of different options, and I'm not going to go into great detail with this. I'm just going to try to keep it high level. But they are proposing to improve the 27 turbines by replacing the current 1.5 megawatt turbine blades, the hub and gearboxes with new technologies. So they will consist of either new GE 1.5 megawatt or 1.6 megawatt generators, and new either 97 meter or 97 meter rotor diameter blades. And so depending on which of those options they choose, they will either result in a total nameplate capacity of 43.5 or 40.5. And the output, though, at the point of interconnection will be limited to the 40.5 megawatts because that's what their generator interconnection agreement is capped at. However, as part of this request, they are asking us to remove the designated nameplate megawatt limitation on our order. They would still have to get approval of a new interconnection agreement from MISO in order to change the output, but they'd like us to remove the nameplate limitation. In reviewing this, the company modeled the sound and shadow flicker impacts of this new technology and found that the sound levels could exceed the 45 decibel cap that we basically have in our orders. In six of occupied residences, they have received a waiver from two of those affected residences. And this order would provide that if they can't get the waiver from the additional four residences, they will either they will install noise reduction technology or minimize the operation at the additional at the other four residences. In either rate, that they will comply with the 45 decibel cap that we have in place in this order. They also modeled the Shadow Flicker, and the upgraded project will be 30 hours per year or less at all occupied residences. In coordination with SHPO, they've looked at all of the plans, and the upgraded project will not impact cultural resources. And they, once they remove the blades, Otter Tail plans to have the existing blades transported to a facility for repurposing, and no blades will be deposited in a landfill, and that is included as one of the ordering provisions in this order. The upgraded project construction will not affect any known exclusion or avoidance areas. The facility is currently operating with an ADLS system to minimize the light pollution, and they will continue to do so in accordance with FAA approval. So with all those pieces in place, I think this repower order is ready for approval, and I am ready to support it.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Did you say no blades will be put in a landfill, or no blades will be put in a landfill unless the landfill is approved by DEQ?
I said that no blades will be put in a landfill because that's what was included in our, in the discussion. Do you have a different understanding?
I'm looking for that section.
There is included in the ordering provision, if solid waste disposal occurs in North Dakota, shall be at a disposal permitted by the North Dakota DEQ. I guess I assume that would be potentially other solid waste, but because number 14 on page 4 says no blades will be deposited in a landfill.
There
could be other solid waste, I guess, that could be deposited in a landfill that's approved by DEQ.
Thanks for clarifying.
Mm-hmm. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, my final motion. I move the commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing and Otter Tail Power Company amend Laverne Wind Upgrade, citing application case number PU-23-176.
Second.
So another repower request on May 8th. Otter Tail Power filed an application to amend the certificate for the Laverne facility to repower the existing 33 turbines. They're 1.5 megawatt GE turbines with 82.5 meter rotor blades, hubs, and gearboxes, and they want to upgrade them to 1.6 megawatt GE generators with 97 meter rotor blades, hubs, and gearboxes. We'll be going through the same review process as I just described in the previous motion and order, and comments and requests for hearing must be received by July 14th. And if deemed appropriate, the commission can determine the matter without a hearing.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
That concludes my portfolio.
Thank you. A few announcements. Just to reemphasize the first point that I made earlier, but if anyone still shows a regular meeting for tomorrow, this is it. That's why we're having this special one. That one is canceled, as is the rail service and safety stakeholders discussion that was previously scheduled for tomorrow. I apologize to Conrad, the compliance portfolio holder, as well as the people who were intending to be here. But that's just, it just didn't work out. And so we'll be working on rescheduling that. No announced time yet. I also want to point out that our June 21st regular commission meeting is canceled. And that has been scheduled or rescheduled with a special meeting on June 28th, so just 1 week later, at 10 o'clock. And then just FYI, the next regular meeting will be back on our previously submitted schedule. So the next one after June 28th will be July 12th. That concludes my scheduling announcements. And with that, we will we'll take a short recess, take questions from the media, and then possibly a break, and then we'll reconvene for the administrative portion of the meeting. So we stand in recess.